Hello and welcome to the Retail Week. I'll look back at the biggest story in retail over the last 7 days. I'm Grace Bowden, head of content for Retail Week, and I am joined by our senior reporter, Becky Waller-Davis, and our executive editor, George McDonald. It is Groundhog Day for us here at Retail Week. For the second week in a row, we are going to be discussing the Arcadia CBA, differences they managed to get it through this time, despite opposition from their biggest landlord, Intu. The CBA proposal from Arcadia will see them close just shy of 50 stores and reduce rents on just shy of 200, and it's going to safeguard 17,000 jobs. 17,000 jobs. That's right. Mm-hmm. I got it wrong last time. So, George, you spoke to Philip Green as the CBA deal went through yesterday. What did he have to say?
Yeah, well, obviously he's pleased that it's gone through. He was at great pains to thank the suppliers in particular, who he said had stood by him throughout, and obviously the people at Arcadia, for whom it's been an uncertain time. And he said, you know, more landlords concluded that it was better for it to go ahead than not. And then he said that now we get started. And I thought that was the interesting thing because, you know, it's quite amazing if you think about it. You know, he bought it off the public markets, you know, near enough 20 years ago. You think of the heights that it's reached in that time. So for him to be saying now we get started, it sort of it brings home how much there is, I think, to do there.
Yeah, I've got to say, it's quite surreal just thinking about it from a consumer perspective with my sort of shopper hat on rather than my reporter hat on. Back in the day, whenever I would come to London, Topshop was the place to go.
It was an absolute destination,
yeah. It was the coolest place when I was a teenager. And I just can't imagine the same being true for, I don't know, younger generations today. So it really is a testament of just how high they were and arguably how much work they've got to do. So what does it need to do now that they've crossed the CBA hurdle?
Yeah, well, so they've got a recovery strategy which is built of four pillars. It's driving digital growth, driving wholesale growth, I think doubling it actually in some cases, driving cost efficiencies and also driving footfall. All of those things sound very nice. I'm sure lots of retailers would love to, you know, drive online growth and footfall. That would be a dream.
I'm sure that's what everybody should do.
Yeah, but you can see from that's a very far-reaching strategy. It's all focused around the operations, and it's essentially looking at kind of how to power growth in the business. The interesting thing is that it doesn't make any mention of brand and customer. And actually, when I was speaking to people in the market, both advisors and consultants and other retailers, that was their number one thing that Arcadia should be doing at all of its brands, was narrowing its focus on its target customers, really differentiating what those different brands are for, even with Topshop, which people felt was in a far better state than most of the other brands. It has to do a lot of work on brand to really regain some of the customers that it's lost, whether that's younger customers who never really started shopping there in the first place, or older customers probably of our age, of about kind of late 20s, 30s, who have kind of,
lost
touch with it. And there's absolutely no mention of that in the Arcadia recovery plan, which I find a little concerning.
Can I ask, do you think, and I'm just spitballing here, but do you think that maybe that was perhaps deliberately ambiguous because they see some of the brands as potentially not having a future where others do? Or do you think it might have just been perhaps a bit of a blind spot that people have rightly honed in on?
That's an interesting point.
So think about the future of Topshop versus the future of Miss Selfridge.
Yeah.
I can see two
different outcomes. Yeah, and I think yes, definitely we will see, or we may see some of those brands not existing anymore in the next few years. But I think even if that was possibly the case, I think it's really remiss not even to kind of put out a brand strategy for something like Topshop, which is clearly never going to fall into that bracket.
Yeah, and there are other brands in the stable as well who obviously, you know, seem like they would have at very least potential to be going much greater guns than they currently are. Like, I think Evans was one that we were talking about this morning, George, and Dorothy Perkins potentially as well. So, yeah, it's a question of what he prioritises, I suppose.
Yeah, because like you say, with Evans, there's a plus-size market out there. It's growing. It's obviously been taken by some other retailers and e-tailers, but they really they've really squandered that opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, Topshop, Arcadia is going to stand or fall on Topshop, I think. Mm. You know, it's definitely, it's had a hard time. You know, Fleeter of Foot rivals have come up and stolen market shares, stolen sales from it. But I do think it remains a powerful brand and one that can be reactivated. Mm. And the fact of going on ASOS, you know, that should bring in quite a lot of sales in its own right. Just on that point as well about online, yeah, I think there will be more store closures actually than we know about at present, because you know there's a lot of leases will be coming up for expiry, renewal, and I think there'll be a more slimming of the portfolio. There's been talk about a core estate in the end of about 300 or so, compared to, you know, more than 500 at the moment. I think it's a really good point, though, that sort of absence of a sense of purpose about the brand. So, like I say, I definitely think, it has purchase still, no doubt of it. But it really needs to restore that sense of what is it for. And I was thinking about this earlier. I was looking at the ASOS site. You look at it, not the corporate site, the shopper's site. If you look in About Us, there is no mention of the fact that it sells clothes at all. It says, "We believe in a world where you have total freedom to be you without judgment, to experiment, to express yourself," continues in a similar vein. It concludes, "We exist to give you the confidence to be whoever you want to be." Mm. Nowhere does it mention these old dresses or trousers or anything else?
Sounds like a manifesto for Pride Month.
It does. Well, you know, this is you put it in a really good way. Topshop in its pomp was representative of the spirit of its times, and to be successful again, it has to rekindle that. It's got to represent contemporary attitudes again. And behave like a very contemporary business in a way that was once, you know, second nature.
Yeah. Question is, can it do that with Sir Philip Green at the helm? I feel like, you know, I think the level of contention that has surrounded the CVAs is fueled at least in part by public opinion on Philip Green, whether that's from a business point of view with, you know, taking out dividend or BHS or even the more sort of personal allegations that have come against him. You know, there's a lot of storm clouds around his name at the moment for various reasons. But then also there's the broader question of, to be blunt, a lot of this seems, as someone who, yes, granted, has never run a business, but it seems pretty basic to me. Selling on ASOS, knowing what your purpose is, that all seems like pretty back to basics shopkeeping that feels like, if that's been lacking to the point where you need a CVA, is the job being done right? So, in order to restore Arcadia, and let's say Topshop is the jewel in the crown, to its former glory, should Sir Philip Green still be at the helm?
No.
Now that the CVA's gone through?
No. No, he should not. I'm not sure whether that's ever going to actually come to pass, knowing Philip Green, I would imagine not. But I think, for all the reasons you've mentioned, that it's pretty impossible to make a strong argument saying that he should be at the helm. I also think that one thing we haven't mentioned, and this is not to criticise any of the people kind of heading up the brands or working at Arcadia at all, but I do think that if you have somebody with the type of allegations attached to them as Philip has at the helm of a business, a lot of people will self-select out of working at that business. That means, you know, no matter who you have there already, a lot of new talent will not want to touch that with a barge pole.
Exactly what I was going to say. If what they need, as you say, George, is somebody whose finger is firmly on the pulse, who is able to make it completely relevant to its customer again.
Nobody.
The question is, anyone with their finger on the pulse who's ambitious and open to opportunity, with more opportunities and more competition of places to go than there have ever been, why would they go there right now?
Yeah, I think, he owns it.
Yes.
Now, that is a different thing, though, from whether he should continue a sort of day-to-day involvement. So I think the best thing for him and for Arcadia, is to put distance between the two.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be involved, and you know, he's a pretty savvy person, whatever criticisms may be made of him. So I would hope that he would be thinking along some of these lines. You look back to the great days, and some of the people who worked there. He's had a lot of really good people working for him over the years. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Jane Shepherdson was key to building Arcadia. So yes, you want today's Jane Shepherdson's in there, with the freedom to run the business without feeling that the owner is, you know, breathing down their neck or wants to take operational control. I think that is a really important thing. And like I say, I think it would be best for him and for the business.
CVAs have a notoriously checkered history. Is this one going to work? Just a little curveball at the end. I didn't know what I was going to throw.
I think it will work. I'm going to take the coward's way out. I think it's going to work for some of the business. Do I think Topshop will still be here in 5-10 years' time? Yes. The other parts of the business, perhaps not. Perhaps not any. Maybe some. Perhaps not any.
Mm. I think it will work. You know, some of the things that we've talked about happen. You know, the Topshop brand is strong. Something can be done with that. You know, putting the others into a more wholesale model could bring some new opportunities. But in the end, it's all going to be about Topshop. And, you know, let's say he does distance himself, but I think what he was saying last night, now we get started, it sort of sums him up. Like, he is a proud person. Mm-hmm. You know, he will want success. You know, for him it is personal too. I think it can work, but for it to work, it would be good if he didn't take day-to-day charge.
Interesting. There's going to be lots of different ways that could go. So yes, we will definitely be following along with interest. Thank you so much for your thoughts, guys. Really interesting as always. Thank you very much for joining us. Next week is our Be Inspired conference, so we'll have loads of brilliant content coming out from that. So do keep an eye on the website. We also have coverage of the story this week, quite extensive coverage, if I do say so myself. So do check it out. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you again next week.